A brief note about the process of the catechumenate. In the early church, after the apostolic period, there developed a longer catechumenate lasting typically 3 years. Now, earlier in the first few centuries, there wasn't perhaps as formal a process, especially if you look in the first century, for example, in the book of Acts, you see examples of people converting very quickly, sort of hearing the gospel and immediately being baptized and entering into the life of the church. But we should keep in mind that in those early centuries, the Christian life was very intense. People were often facing terrible persecutions. And so those who came to baptism, those who came to the church, were generally speaking very serious and very committed and, you know, prepared even to give their lives for Christ, as they did in many cases. But by the fourth century, a longer kind of standard catechumenate process had developed, and that lasted typically for 3 years. Now, of course, it's typically shorter, but we still have a standard catechumenate, at least what we practice in our archdiocese, of 1 year. Sometimes it's longer, if need be. But basically, usually it's at least a year. So being a catechumen involves, first of all, attending services. This is the most important requirement, because we pray what we believe. And when you come to the divine services, you're being immersed in the life of the church. You're being immersed in the mind of the church. You are enabled to absorb, if you open yourself up, if you open your heart up, your mind up, to receiving what the church is offering, you are enabled to absorb the life of the church in a way that doesn't necessarily happen just by reading books or listening to lectures or watching videos or whatever it might be. So this is key to the catechumenate, is to attend the services. It's like tea steeping. You put the tea bag in the hot water and it steeps, and you have to leave it in for long enough for the tea to be sufficiently strong. You have to spend enough time in the divine services to steep properly and to have the right flavor of orthodoxy. And you can't really get it another way. You know, you can't have good tea by just putting the tea bag next to the cup of hot water. You can't have good tea just by reading about the tea bag or the kind of tea that it is, or, and, you know, thinking about tea or something like that. You have to actually do the work, participate. The tea bag has to participate in the hot water, and the hot water has to participate in the tea bag in order for the tea to come out right. So similarly, the services of the church should be our primary focus as Orthodox Christians. That isn't to say that there aren't lots of other things that are ingredients in the process of becoming an Orthodox Christian, and that are ingredients in the process of living a Christian life once you enter the Orthodox Church. There are, of course, many other things, but the services are primary. They're central in the life of Orthodox Christians. So after that, I would say, of course, attending the classes, the catechumenate classes, and a number of practical things as well. In the early church, especially the first part of the catechumenate, which was the longest, leading up to the Lenten season immediately prior to baptism, that longer first part leading up to that really emphasized the practical elements of Christian living. So there was instruction, but the instruction wasn't in the nuances of theology, and it wasn't even about the mysteries of the church very much, because that was really saved for later on when the newly illumined participated in the mysteries. Then there was additional instruction about, you know, understanding the meaning of baptism and chrismation and the Eucharist and the other mysteries of the church. But in that first period, the longer period of the catechumenate, it was really about stopping your life as a pagan and beginning to live a godly life, a moral life, a Christian life, practically speaking. So the deeper theological instruction came later when the catechumens were nearing their time of baptism. And you see this, for example, in the catechetical lectures of St. Cyril of Jerusalem. At the very beginning, he actually forbids those listening to share any of what he's saying with other catechumens, because this was delivered to those who were approaching their baptism, not to those who still had a few years to go. So he forbids the listeners to share what they're hearing, even with the other catechumens, let alone anybody outside the church who wasn't drawing near to the church. So this shows that it's the heart of the catechumenate is really practically engaging in the life of the church. So this would include things like fasting, beginning to keep the Orthodox fast on Wednesdays and Fridays and during the fasting seasons. It would include developing a prayer rule. So really to make an effort to engage in a life of prayer. And of course, real prayer is simply conversation with God. It's being attentive to God, to his presence, and opening ourselves up to him and expressing our need for him and our thanksgiving to him, and so on. We could say a lot more about prayer. We will later. But this doesn't develop by accident. It comes through a concerted effort on our part. It comes through discipline. We have to, carve out the time in our day to prioritize prayer, to say, I'm going to begin my day with a time of prayer. I'm going to end my day with a time of prayer. I'm going to give my attention to God, to the Holy Trinity, and it involves using prayers because it's good for us, and many of the saints speak about this, to pray to God just from our hearts, to speak extemporaneously, confessing our sins to him in our own words and begging him for help as we need it in our own words. All of that's good. But the prayers of the church, the ones that come from our prayer books, the ones that are sanctified by centuries of use, that are written by holy people with profound experience of the grace of God, these prayers form us. They shape us as Christians. They help us to learn how to pray with not just what kinds of words to use, although that's significant, the kind of language of our theology, the language of the church, but even more so, the spirit of our faith, the humble spirit full of reverence, the desire to please God from the depths of the soul, the sorrow, great sorrow for our sinfulness, and just the humble recognition of our deep need, our desperate need for the grace of God, hunger for the grace of God. The prayers of the church teach us to over time, slowly, gradually, to acquire this kind of spirit that you encounter in the prayers. So praying those prayers develops that spirit in us. And so it's very important for us to use the prayers of the church in the process of developing our habit, our rule of prayer, and to really make it a rule, and not just something that we do haphazardly, but something that again is deliberate, that we use with discipline, that we practice in a disciplined way. So that's just a little bit about the prayer rule. Then, of course, tithing, to give from what we receive, to give back to God. And of course, there's, the church gives us the standard of 10%, to give 10% of what we receive back to God, which, of course, ultimately, we should be prepared to give everything back to God. But the 10% is symbolic of everything, of giving our whole selves, our whole lives back to God. And then almsgiving. Almsgiving is distinct from tithing. Tithing is giving to the church. Almsgiving is giving to the poor. So, and of course, some of what we tithe to the church is used to help those in need. But that's something that we do separately from our tithing, over and above that 10% that we give. We are to look for opportunities to help those in need. And of course, that includes, of course, you know, financial giving to those in need, but also there are lots of other opportunities that we have to help those in need. Sometimes people are in need emotionally, or, you know, that people feel lonely, people feel forgotten, people just need a kind word. And so, I mean, this is not to say that, this is not to, you know, say that giving financially isn't important. It is. It's just to recognize that there are other ways that we can give alms, that we can show mercy to people. So, so we do both. It's both and. So these are some of the elements, and there are lots of other ones that we could mention. Certainly just participating in the life of the parish to the degree that's possible. Helping out when there are tasks that need to be done in the church. And then just struggling to be faithful day in, day out as husbands and wives and parents and children and siblings and friends, to do all of those things, to live our lives in a Christian way, according to the gospel, according to the teaching of Christ, according to the Christian way, the way that's been handed down to us in the tradition of the church. So these are the things that I want to encourage all the members of our catechism class to think about and to engage in. This is how we live our lives as catechumens, but not just as catechumens. All of these disciplines are important to acquire now so that they will continue later. The last thing that I'll mention is, and we'll talk more about practical things, and really before I get to the last thing, one other thing that I should mention is people, especially in the early church, but certainly today, really just as much as in the early church, people are coming from a life that's very foreign to that of the church. And so, you know, in the early days of the church, people coming from a pagan way of life had a completely different approach to, say, sexuality, how they thought about that. So things that that they would have considered normal, now that they're becoming Christians, they have to reconsider and recognize that these things are abnormal and immoral and need to be repented of. And that's still very much the case today, that there may be things that we have considered normal or okay in the past that we now need to repent of. So it involves becoming an Orthodox Christian, involves leading a moral life and repenting for those things that are immoral in our lives. And it's not just sexual sins, but that's a major category that many people struggle with. And, you know, in the course of this class, we'll talk about various passions, various kinds of sins, various struggles that people have, and ways that we can grapple with our fallenness and repent and turn to Christ and receive healing and receive grace in order to struggle, not just to struggle, but to struggle in a way that leads to victory. So these are all things that we'll talk about. So the last thing that I wanted to mention is confession. As Orthodox Christians, we practice confession. As a rule of thumb, we say that people should confess at least once a month, or they're about that, and about once a month. And, you know, that if we wait too long to make confession, we begin to forget what needs to be confessed. And not only that, but these things accumulate in our soul, and we just end up in a mess. So regular confession is absolutely needful for us as Orthodox Christians. We simply must be unburdening ourselves, being washed clean. You know, it's like taking a shower. If you go too long, you start to really stink. And so we need to bathe on a regular basis. And that's what confession is for us. It's going into the bath. It's the renewal of our baptism. And as catechumens, it's a good idea to already begin practicing confession. Now, at some point, you'll need to make a life confession before your baptism. But even even long before you're approaching your baptism, it's a good idea just to begin practicing reviewing your life and examining your conscience and recognizing those things that need to be confessed. And there's no reason to delay. You can come begin making confession and doing that on a regular basis anytime you're ready, anytime you want. I would encourage you just to do it soon. Don't wait. Of course, there's a difference between making confession as a catechumen and making confession after baptism, which is that there are no prayers of absolution before your baptism. However, just simply confessing your sins is a good habit to already acquire now, and there's no reason to delay that. So that's my encouragement to you. So may the Lord bless your catechumenate, and may He enable us all to walk and to grow in His grace and in His love, and to be filled with His light, so that we're no longer in darkness, so that we might glorify the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.